Hello, everybody. My name is Thomas A. Chiodini.
And I'm Amber Park Chiodini.
And today, our guest is...
Patrick Edward Erickson. Party on, dude.
And this week on So What Happens Next, we have a most bodacious of episodes. It's Bill and Ted 3 Face the Music. Patrick, welcome back to the show. How's it going, man?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me during this fantastic COVID crisis we're going through.
Right? Tell me about it. How are you doing today, Amber?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah? You excited for Bill and Ted 3?
I am most excited.
Most excited. How about you, Patrick? How are you feeling for this one?
I'm unsure about it. After knowing that the second one wasn't my favorite, to see them come back as in the third one, it's a little iffy on my end.
Yeah, I'm a little hopeful. There's been some tricklings of reviews floating around. And I'm kind of like, okay, you know, it looks like it's generally positive. So that's kind of given me some hope here. I'm hopeful of that.
Right, right.
For those of you who, you know, are sort of new to the show, I know we're like, you know, oh man, this is our like 32nd episode. So we've done a few. But the show was originally started with me and Amber and Patrick. And then, you know, life happens, people move, things change, whatever. But Patrick, now that we've kind of like really, as a society, embraced remote everything, we're like able to kind of do some stuff with the show that we weren't able to do before. And so, you know, welcome back to the show, Patrick. But yes, this week we are doing Bill and Ted. Is it Bill and Ted 3 or Bill and Ted Face the Music? I keep hearing it both ways.
I think it's Bill and Ted 3 Face the Music, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I just had it up actually on the TV.
Okay.
So, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll go Bill and Ted. Nope, it's Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Damn. Okay.
Okay, we were wrong.
So let's just get right into it, shall we, everybody? I have five things up on the board, which I sent to you, Patrick, as well. So you got the five things. And
yes, I did.
There's sort of loosely what I've kind of pulled from what I could find about this movie from the early trailers. I don't think I've seen the more recent ones, so I just kind of pulled from that. And those five things are: it's about your kids, Marty! It's about Bill and Ted's kids. It looks like it's about Bill and Ted's kids, who are introduced at the very end of Bill and Ted 2.
They were?
Yeah, they, at the very, very end, they come out of the time box and the telephone booth, because they went for like 6 months or something, or 10 months, whatever. Yeah. And they're like, this is little Bill, and this is little Ted, and they have the babies on their back. And that's it. Like, we get that, and then they play God Gave Rock and Roll to You, and the movie moves on. Right. So it's about their kids, at least kind of. It appears to be about their kids. It takes place in the modern day, so we're not doing like a, okay, it's 1995 sequel to Bill and Ted, and you know, Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves are pretending to be young people or something. Like, no, they're old. We're doing adults.
Yeah, it seems like 20 years in the future.
Yeah.
Oh,
because by the age of their kids.
Which is kind of weird, right? Because the second movie's in 1991, so they should be like 30.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Their kids should be pretty old. But maybe they'll answer in the movie. I don't know. Maybe like there's some wonky time travel involved here. Who knows?
Yeah.
But number three is that it looks like the plot of this movie is kind of, not to get the plot, but like it looks like a portion of this movie is they're not the sort of revolutionary heroes they're supposed to be, like they're hinted to in the first and second films. It looks like they're not doing it.
Right.
For some reason. Looks like we get Death back in this movie.
I love Death.
I'm so excited. Like
he's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like he kind of steals the show in that second one. Like,
he does.
When they're doing the board games, we'll get into it in our small screens episode coming up, but Death is, fingers crossed that Death is great in this one.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have more time travel, which I realized in the second movie was not a big component until the very end. Like, they really don't time travel in that movie, except to kind of tie some ends up.
So. Yeah.
Right.
So, Patrick, you are the guest today. What do you got? What do you think this movie's about?
So, well, first I want to say it's sad that we can't have Rufus, George Carlin, and R.I.P. again, Rufus. You know, because he passed. Yeah.
Also, to take a beat, R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman. That the day we're recording this is the day that kind of got announced. Moment of silence here for Chadwick Boseman. Great actor, serious icon, meant a lot to a lot of people. You know, R.I.P.
So, my version of Bill and Ted 3, or Bill and Ted Face of Music, sounds like that, like you said, they're not who they should be at this point in their lives. They should have already revolutionized the world, yada, yada. And they are lost in their ways of trying to rekindle their youth, or just give up on their youth and just be adults like their parents were before them.
You're thinking it might be like, ah, shit, like, we screwed up. Maybe it's just time, like the end of Step Brothers, like where they're like, it's time to grow up kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh. And though their kids still follow their ways as music prodigies, or, you know, trying to knock in that 80s music, 80s clothing style, all that stuff. Right. And their wives are sick of it. Their parents are sick of it. Anyone associated with them is sick of them living in the past and says, you know, get with the future.
Right.
Start living your lives as they should be as adults.
Ah.
And then they're visited by someone from the future, that what they have to do, and they go on a fantastic another trip.
Oh, okay. All right. To like figure out how to like fix this stuff, or you think the trip's unrelated?
No, figure out how to fix this stuff, how they make their song, how they save the world and create world peace.
Gotcha. Okay, I can get behind that. I mean, I think I wouldn't be surprised if like the opening of this movie is like one of them working in an office or something.
Oh yeah.
And they're just like, I would love it if the beginning of this movie was like, we open up on either Alex Winter or Keanu Reeves working in like a cubicle desk office setting, and instead of like talking like this in a most radical of ways, they're just like, oh, hello, Jeff, how are you doing today? Yes, I'll have that memo done before noon. I'm actually going to get lunch today at a little Pizarro's to go get some pizza. Would you like to join me? And like they just talk like that. like that's the cold open of this movie is that.
Yeah.
And then we kind of move through, and they get home, and like either him and or Alex Winter meet up with each other, and then suddenly it's back to the air guitars and all the other stuff again, and it's sort of like their only way to, you know, release for that. What do you think in this movie is going to be about, Amber?
I think it'd be great if they had like a flashback to them being on tour. Mm-hmm. And so kind of how like in other movies, they kind of, you get a flashback of like this person who's like either a superhero or was a superhero, or like they were like some great person or whatever. And it just flashes back to like when they were like on tour or whatever. And then it comes to the present, like you said, and he's in a cubicle and he's still talking like that, like Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves. And they're just like, you know, bodacious, and they're like, you cannot say that, or, you know, like, you cannot do that, and then he just ends up fucking something up to where he gets fired, and he comes home, and his wife is just like, you can't do this anymore, like, you've gone through so many jobs, like, it's time to move on, you know, because I guess they no longer maybe are, like, you know, they probably don't have, like, the band anymore, is what I assume, and they're trying to live like normal people. But then eventually they have to get like the band back together, like, which is where death probably comes in order to, like, I feel like there's maybe like a music competition or something, like battle of the bands type of things. Yeah.
Okay. I would even love it if they're working as baristas in a coffee shop or something.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh. And they just like fuck that up.
You know, it would be great to see like them working with their kids, like they all work at the same place.
Yeah.
Like their kids are young adults working as baristas,
or like an ice cream like shop.
Yeah, something,
and
something
they have to
like
wear that
key.
Dorky
yeah.
like outfit.
And they're like, you know, Bill, the daughter, like go get Ted or something. Like, and you think it's gonna be like open the door and it's, you know, Alex Winter's daughter, but instead it's fucking Keanu Reeves like working an ice cream thing, or it's them dicking around in the back
yeah.
like throwing ice cream at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like that's the other angle this could take, right? Like, they are complete fuck ups here, and it's just like, you're 40 plus years old and you're working with a bunch of teenagers at like a minimum wage job, and you could have been like the revolution of the world, but instead you're just kind of at this ice cream parlor type or barista or whatever.
It's kind of like Ash versus Evil Dead. Like, you got this, like, 40, 50-year-old man who's just, like, working at a convenience store. And he's, like, been there, like, forever or whatever, but he's kind of a loser.
Right.
So, yeah. Even though he's, like, done this, like, really cool thing, like, back in the day.
And the other aspect I think is a little important is how the princesses adapt to that, you know? Because they come from medieval times, so did they adapt better than their own husbands who already lived in that time period?
I think they already do, like in the first film, right? Like in the second film, they already have their own place that they live at.
So they have a car that's not like a dumpy van. They drive like a little Beetle or something, and they're clearly like able to play their instruments with skill. Like they're not like, we suck. So it's kind of like, what's up? What's with the princesses? And I think it's really, you know, it might take an angle of like, they are in a very successful like business or something like that. Babes, you would not believe how slammed we were at the twisty treat earlier today.
That's very nice, Bill.
I could see them like as owners of like a jewelry store. The amount of jewelry that they're wearing, like in the second film, I think, or whatever, like they're really dressed up. And I'm just like, yeah.
No, that I agree that, you know, they, Bill and Ted are like house husbands, but house husbands who do no work whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it's that. Like, if you think of their place as a dump, and they're just like kind of sitting around watching Star Trek and eating snacks and shit. And I think that that is just what they're continuing to do, just maybe in like a man cave-esque quarantine space. It's like their house is immaculate, but then in this one room you got like the Faith No More posters everywhere and the Guns N' Roses shit and the garbage all over the place. It looks exactly like their apartment in two, and it's just them.
Yeah, and you have to think about like how the music has changed as well. At least now it's like all pop music.
That's actually a really good point.
And so I'm curious to see if that's what's happening in the movie too, to where it's like, oh, no more rock and roll. Right. It's like, now we're just doing pop music. And they're just looking at it like, what is this?
You know what? I think that I'll go with what I think now, based on kind of what you guys are saying, especially that note, is I think this is they failed, like something, you know, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, kind of for the same reasons they didn't do it in the first movie, right? Is like they never really took the time to get good. They just kind of figured we're supposed to.
Or maybe they were successful. It's just,
it didn't pan out.
Yeah. Well, it not that it didn't pan out, but it's just like, you know, they're done. They opened, they like had world peace, I guess. They achieved world peace. And now they've kind of opened the doors to like other people to be able to use music to like express themselves and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're still recognized and probably in like glorified by other people. It's just like, you know, when other people see them, it's probably more like, oh yeah, like back in the day you were famous or whatever, you were cool, but now this is like the future.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be, I think what we're going to get is like our cold open is going to be like 1999 or something, and it's going to be Death, Bill, and Ted, and because they seem to kind of make up the band at the end of three or two, and so they're all like making music, and you're starting to hear kind of the pop music start coming in, or like the emo, you know, music coming in, and they're just like, they're staunchly in their like hair metal kind of early grunge stuff. And they kind of have a falling out. Maybe like Death is like, I think we need to change, and Bill and Ted aren't. And so they just, Wild Stallions is sort of no more. And in that falling apart combined with the new music scene, they just sort of become, yeah, you know, we do gigs on the side, but they have some other, you know, job, like a regular normal job. And then I think one of their descendants, or maybe like one of Rufus's descendants or something, if we really want to tie that in, comes from the future and is like, hey, we need to have a chat, brings them to the future, and the future people are like, oh no, there's something wrong with time because we're noticing subtle changes in history that are based on you guys not doing your shit anymore. Get your shit together and figure this out, because if you don't, that really, you know, excellent future that you saw in the 90s is not going to happen. And they're just like, Well, that is most what is the word they use?
Unprecedented.
Yeah, that's a word. They say so many.
Or that's bogus or something.
Yeah, like, that is most not heinous. Yeah. Like, like, they say so many words. It's like, I got to say this about the Bill and Ted franchise, is they say so many weirdly big words in such a dumb way that it's hard to remember what the word they said was, because it doesn't feel like it's right. But yeah, I think that's what it's going to be about. And then they're going to try to, I think, take a shortcut again, because it worked in two, right? They were like, we're at Battle of the Bands. We got to figure this out. And then they go, well, why don't we just get in the time machine and go back in time or forward in time, whatever, learn how to play this music, and then come back in 5 minutes and play. And I think that that's what they're going to try to do, is they're going to try to be like, well, what if we just figure out what's supposed to happen and then we just do it? You know, like, what if we just go figure out history? But since it's already messed up, they don't get that option. And I think it's kind of like, I would think the moral of this story here is going to be like, you can't take the shortcuts all the time.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you got to work at it. Sometimes you just got to do what you can to make something better. And I think that's going to be the heartfelt ending here. And then maybe there's like something, you know, between them and the princesses. I think after like 30 years of kind of being bums, maybe they're sick of it. Like, it was fun in 1991, but it's probably not super fun now. So that might be something. But yeah, I think that's where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Did they ever return those Martians to heaven?
That's such a weird sentence that I think, I think for anyone listening, I think that that's going to be the clip for this episode. Did they return those Martians to heaven?
They were kind of part of the band too.
They were doing the playing bongos. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Or are we going to have, like, they're going to be in the movie too, and just some weird,
if Station's in the movie again?
Yeah.
Listen to our small screens next week, and you will get a heap and helping of us talking about horrifying animatronics in Bill and Ted 2, because, oh my God. But all right, do you guys have any final thoughts on this one before we go ahead and go watch this ourselves?
I don't think I do.
I think it's going to have a little, because of all movies nowadays seem to have it, a little apocalyptic maybe possibilities if they don't do what they're supposed to.
Oh, so not even like the world just sucks in the future, like it's gonna end?
And yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that would kind of be a nice driving force.
It's for aliens.
This. Yeah, aliens. I think that would be kind of neat. I mean, I kind of want to know, like, what is the driving force going to be? Is it that the world ends, or is it that, like, it just doesn't, it's not as excellent as it could be? And I'm kind of just curious to see, like, I have to admit, I am curious to see Keanu Reeves reprise this role after so long of being like Neo and John Wick.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Right. Like, doing these serious action blockbuster movies. And it's like, let me go back to being Ted Theodore Logan. Like, I gotta admit, that's probably the thing I'm most, between him and death, those are like the two things I'm like super excited to see, just because I think the juxtaposition of Keanu Reeves' career here is gonna be wild. But
yeah.
If you guys will go ahead and excuse us for a few moments of your time while we go and spend an hour and 32 minutes of our time to go ahead and watch Bill and Ted Face the Music. All right, we are back. So, my bodacious dude and dudette. What do we think? What do we think of Bill and Ted 3? Amber, how'd you think?
I really liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about you, Pat?
It was a lot better than I was expecting it to be.
Same.
Yeah.
Like, I have to say I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I was pretty scared, you know, when you're doing, especially with some of the stuff they're rebooting lately, it's just like, couldn't we leave well enough alone? But this really, I think, especially for like reboots like this, I think it knocked it out of the park. I think it did a really good job. Yeah, I think we were in some of our you know, predictions here. I think we were kind of on the ball. Like, they were doing, I think we all kind of landed on that, like, they were doing good, and then they suck now. Like, yeah. They aren't doing it right. anymore. And then, you know, they're still trying to get it together. But I think, Patrick, was it you who brought it up? With the apocalyptic ending? Yeah. Like, there is an actual, the universe will end here. Yeah. I liked, personally, like, I liked how this movie didn't try to be anything more than it was in right. before. Like, it was just like, you know, the first one of these, it's two kids doing a history assignment. And the second one, it was a little bit heavier, but, like, you know, we're still goofing around. And this one didn't try to be more serious or more edgy or anything like that. Like, I think it really nailed it, you know, for what Bill and Ted is. I think it nailed it pretty well. But yeah, I mean, let's just dive into it. So this movie is basically about Bill and Ted and death, as the Wild Stallions had kind of broken up by this point. And Bill and Ted are struggling to find the song that's supposed to unite the world and bring peace, like they were told right. from the people in the future. But they can't. And they're actually, like, really shitty at it. Like, yeah. I think this, for them, it kind of opens up on, well, it opens up with, I guess, their daughters explaining what's happening, the plot of the movie. And then it goes to them at Deacon, Ted's brother, marrying fucking Missy. I have to say, like, right there, for me, that was like, okay, this movie's got it. Like, we're opening up with another, like, man, I cannot believe that after Missy divorced your dad, she married my dad. And then she married Deacon. Like, it both simultaneously makes your son your dad and your dad his son.
He's like, shut up.
Shut up, Ted. I loved it. And I mean, that was like, I think that was such a great way to kick this off, because throughout those movies, that's such a low-key joke they always introduce in the beginning, I was noticing. It's just kind of like, yeah, let's do this. But yeah, and they basically, you know, have to figure it out. People come from the future and they're like, hey guys, like, if you don't get your shit together, the world will end at in exactly the amount of time that this movie will take to end.
Yep.
like to the minute. So figure it out or, you know, we're all fucked. And at the same time, you have, you know, the people in the future thinking maybe Bill and Ted are supposed to die instead, which I don't understand how they get that, but
yeah, who knows?
Whatever. I think it's to kind of
last minute resort. Basically.
Sure. Like, let's just do it. They're pissing us off anyway. Might as well go out with a bang.
Shame on you.
Right? So they build a robot that's kind of hunting them Terminator style throughout history. And this is where I got really, like, interest. I thought it was interesting to kind of change up, because in the other movies, right, there's only the plot of Bill and Ted. Like, there's just, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And the countdown to whatever they have to do. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this, it's like, we're kind of juggling, like, three-ish plots, like two and a half plots, sort of. We got the Bill and Ted are trying to basically steal the song from the future them, which was, like, kind of funny. Like, I liked seeing the different Bill and Ted's throughout time. They're trying to find the song in the future after they've already wrote it, while at the same time, their daughters are traveling through time to, you know, like, the B plot is them gathering up their own band a la the first movie to kind of make, you know, to help their dads make the song, which they get. So who's in that set list? You got this, I guess, mythical flute player from China.
Yep.
Yeah.
Woman. You have Mozart, Jimi Hendrix, Louis Armstrong. I loved how we did this. The, like, caveman or cavewoman drummer. And then, was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
That was the band?
Yep.
Yeah.
They get all them together, and they're just kind of traveling through time, which, I gotta say, one of my favorite, I don't know about you, but, like, one of my favorite scenes in that movie was when Jimi Hendrix is standing outside Mozart's, like, apartment.
Yeah.
And they're both playing Mozart back and forth to each other, like, dueling banjos, but with a harpsichord and an electric guitar. Which I just saying it out loud makes me love these movies and feel like I'm insane because it's like, yeah, my favorite scene was when Jimi Hendrix had a dueling banjos match with his electric guitar with Mozart in Germany while he was playing harpsichord. And it just sounds like I'm vomiting words like that don't make any sense. But yeah, they gather them all together. And then I guess you could say like the, you know, like half plot is sort of their wives running. Yeah. Like you don't see it, but it's implied like they're going through every possible reality to see what
their relationship is with Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Right. Like which one has the best life that they could live with Bill and Ted. And, you know, for that, it spoilers. It ends with, you know, them realizing that they're in the best reality, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, as long, we didn't belabor it to where it was like, you know, a 3-hour long movie, which I thought was cool. Also, by the way, spoilers for Bill and Ted 3. If you didn't catch that drift with the show already after 32 episodes, but you know, whatever. But yeah, so what about you guys? Like, what are some high points of this movie for you guys here?
God, I love the future Bill and Ted's. Like, they were just so fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I have to agree. That, and I think that's probably why Keanu was so keen to maybe film this, was like, oh, I get to play, like, a different Bill and Ted of the future with every scene.
Yeah. I like that. I like that they definitely were like, let's just goof around. But at the same time, I also liked how it was technically the same shitty Bill and Ted that was just getting shittier as it went. Like, they're just kind of failures. And then they're, like, just straight liars and they're committing crime. And then they're, like, brutal, weird prison leaders.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they're old men by the end, which is pretty funny. Like, I liked the old men Bill and Ted, especially with the little post-credit scene where it's just the old guys playing guitar and it's like, I need to sit down.
Oh. Nurse.
There's a post-credit scene at the end of this if you just want to see them shred, which leads me to a thought I had kind of going up to that climactic point and the post-credit scene. Can Keanu Reeves, like, legit play guitar like that?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Neither would I.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was watching him.
I don't know about Alex Winter. I feel like he really can't, but, like, yeah, I feel like Keanu Reeves.
I was watching Keanu's hands in that scene, and I'm like, he's not, like, fiddling. Like, he looks like he's doing something near to what sounds like, but I don't know. I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, I would, if I was, like, Keanu Reeves and became famous like that, especially after something like Bill and Ted, you could bet I'm going to learn how to play guitar. Yeah. Like, I'm going to learn how to play. It's like, if we do a sequel, I want to, like, make sure I can just do it on my own. Patrick, what was, like, your high point, you know, or are you sitting kind of in the same bit with Amber?
I'm with Amber with the future selves, because it was cool to just to see, I guess, Keanu played very, very different roles that now what we're used to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, instead of being action, he's just this laid back figure and not giving a crap, you know. And his attitude was totally different. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I loved, honestly, just seeing, and I was, you know, I was excited for it in the beginning. And I got to say, I am satisfied with what we got. Is like just seeing Keanu Reeves play Ted again after watching a John Wick.
Yeah, and they just kind of like settled into the character so well.
I know.
Like, they didn't even really have to like work on it or anything. They didn't have to practice. Yeah. They just literally just, it's like as if they sat there, they're just like, all right, we're Bill and Ted now. So that was really good. And then I'm always impressed by like the other characters in the film. Like even the dad is like,
oh my God,
pretty funny.
Dad.
And like Death was great. Just everybody playing like different like historical characters. They were really good.
No, and I mean, one, points for diversity, too. Like, I like if you think about, like, the first movies, it's pretty much just a bunch of white dudes and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in this one, they really went for, like, you know, the other people did music, too. And, and they kind of get, like, a diverse group of musicians to kind of come and do the thing. And it didn't do it in such a way where it was, like, the movie was, like, winking at you.
Exactly.
They're like, hey, you know, Jimi Hendrix is actually, like, one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Why don't we get him and, like, Louis Armstrong, who is one of the greatest trumpet players of all time? Like, why don't we just acknowledge this and do that? Well, at the same time, having, like, Mozart and shit there, too. But it was cool. I liked how they were at least cognizant of it, and they weren't, like, trying to, I don't know, ignore it or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
But I did, I do have to say, like, everybody who came into it really was about it. Like, yeah. They were, I mean, even Kid Cudi, who's like, I don't know. So here's a question. Would you guys consider Kid Cudi cameoing in this movie or as an actual, like, role in this film?
I think an actual role, because yeah. When I think of cameos, it's just like you're there.
Right.
Kind of like Spy Kids, Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Okay. She said one word and like that was it. But like in this one, he actually was, and I believe that he actually knows that stuff because he's really into it.
Oh,
and
really?
I don't know if you guys know this, but like MC Hammer apparently on Twitter is like really into like the biomedical field.
Really?
So yes, he will friend people that are like in the science community and he will tweet out their papers and stuff and even have a conversation with you about those papers.
That's wild.
But yeah, people like that, it just kind of like amazes you because you're just like, oh, I know them for like rap or whatever, or like, you know, R&B, but it's like, no, they're like actually really cool people.
I would have loved to see like a like temporal distortion consultant : Kid Cudi. What about you, Patrick? Where do you land on the cameo/role debate here?
Oh, it was definitely a role. It wasn't a cameo. Because, yeah. You know, cameo, usually they have, like Amber said before, one line, you know, one or two lines, and that's it. They don't appear anymore. But he definitely played a big role, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. At first, I was like, because when we are like starting this movie and everyone's like blipping across yeah. time, Amber was like, no, not Kid Cudi. And I was like, oh, haha, that's funny. Like somebody relevant to the modern day. But then he kind of is part of the band. And then he's also telling them about like
quantum physics.
Yeah, like quantum yeah. physics and theories and things and like really eloquently explaining it. And it was just. I liked it. Like, I thought it was great because it also wasn't another like super tongue-in-cheek thing where it was like, oh yeah, Kid Cudi, haha, this is just like a really belabored cameo. It's like, no, like he actually has something to do. We're not just like taking a 20-minute long Stan Lee session where, you know, he's just kind of there doing nothing or something like that.
It's
like, he's actually contributing to the plot, which was pretty cool. And, you know, the movie ultimately, I think, it's kind of obvious. I don't know about you guys, but it felt a little obvious when they were like, a song written by Preston and Logan.
Yeah.
This time I'm like, it's their kids.
Yeah.
It's got to be about their kids. Like, which, you know, now that I think of that Back to the Future quote, they do become assholes or something, don't they? Yeah, like, they Bill do. And Ted suck.
Yeah.
In the future.
You're such a dick, Ted.
I think that was another great scene.
He's like, don't fight yourself. Don't fight yourself.
When they go back to the wedding, or the marriage counselor, I'm sorry. And he's like, and I start drinking, like, a lot. And she's like, but honey, you don't even drink. And he's like, I know, but I will. And it, I like how it's just a problem.
You were born in 1408, 1407, yeah. or something crazy.
Like it's that. Like, do you, when you say 1408, do you mean the year? I love how, I think if there's one thing this movie did pretty well, it's that, like, you know, in other movies, shit goes down. You always have those characters who are like, I still don't believe it. But everybody goes to hell at one point in this movie.
Yeah.
And they find their dad, and their dad's just like, you know, I'm here and you're here, which means you did go here, which also probably means you time traveled. And I'm really sorry I didn't believe you. And I'm just like, let's wrap that up right now.
Yeah.
Like, great. That's awesome. We don't need to have any more denial about that. Like, he's like, oh, I'm in hell. You guys are back in hell. Yeah, it probably happened. I'm stupid at this point. Like, damn. I did really like that they got everybody back.
Yeah.
I don't know about Deacon.
Deacon was not, and the wives weren't.
The wives weren't?
Yeah, the same actresses.
Oh, dang. Okay. Well, that's all right. Yeah. No, I thought I recognized the woman playing Joanna, Joe.
Maybe. When I actually looked this up, and I know for a fact the other woman definitely was not the same actress.
Gotcha.
But Joanna, okay. Maybe.
But yeah, I still think like everybody did really good, and everyone really had truly had looked like they had a passion for what was going on.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little refreshing because, you know, they're not like, let's just make Bill and Ted to make some more money.
Yeah.
It's like, this movie is like 30 years old. Do we really think we're going to make a lot more money with this?
Well, also, you think about our times now where other studios are pushing back big movies. They didn't push back Bill and Ted to appear in theaters. You know, it's video on demand.
Right. And I think that this is, you know, let's talk about that, you know, as kind of a state of things. So for anyone in the future, if you're listening to this episode, you know, we still, you know, for most parts of the U.S., there's still kind of that quarantine thing going on with the COVID-19 and all that. But I think, one, this movie is very positive. And I got to say, it was really nice to see that. Like, to just watch something that wasn't like, stuff might still suck, but that's life. It was like, nope, we fixed it. We ended the movie world peace. We fucking did it, everybody. Close it up, we're good. And it was great. Like, it was just nice to see that. But a lot of films are coming out on VOD, for better or for worse, because it's sort of like, you can't go to a movie theater right now. Or you at least shouldn't. Like, I'm not really, as much as I would love to go back to the movie theater to see something like Tenet, probably not going to, because it's like one of the last places you should probably go right now. But yeah, but stuff like this where it's like, hey, here is a Bill and Ted movie, which probably would flop in theaters. I'm not gonna lie, it's Bill and Ted. Like, how many people want to pay the $30 to go see in theaters? But I can buy it in 4K at home for roughly that price, and I always have it. Like, it's there forever. It's just there.
Yeah. And I think it's really showing that, like, because when you go to a movie theater, it's very expensive. Like, even now, like, imagine just having, like, you know, your spouse and then, like, two kids go with you. Like, that's a lot of money because you're getting, like, not only the admission tickets, but you're getting, like, probably popcorn and drinks for everyone. So it's just, like, not very accessible, I feel like, for a lot of people, unless, you know, you're, like, you know, like you and me, we can, we have like a membership and we can just go and we like save money through that. But like otherwise, for a lot of people, it's like almost a special occasion now. Whereas before, it's like, oh, $5 or, you know,
it's
for
like $5 an admission ticket. Going to ticket.
Yeah. And even now with like Netflix and stuff like that, it's just a lot easier to be able to get movies like on demand and actually keep it.
Yeah. And I think it's also, for me, it's kind of like, I think of something like Tenet, where, you know, you got like Nolan kind of like, it has to be in theaters. And it's become a pretty linchpin film for a lot of movie theaters because they're like, this is the movie that's going to decipher it. We're making a big deal out about it. It's supposed to be this big cinematic thing. If people don't come see it, then are we fucked or not? And I'm kind of looking at it going, if the world starts shifting to this, right, like Bill and Ted is coming out on VOD, but something like Tenet's coming out in theaters, to me, both of those are totally justified. Like, would I have gone and saw Bill and Ted in theaters? Absolutely. Like, there's no question. I would totally have gone to see it if, you know, things weren't the way they are. Would I be, like, a little bummed to see something like Tenet or even, like, the upcoming Dune movie on TV instead of seeing it in theaters? Yeah, a little bit, because those directors are, their whole shtick is, let me film this as if someone's watching it in a theater, and that's not necessarily going to translate to a TV perfectly. So I mean, like, in what I'm saying is, like, with things like Bill and Ted or movies where it's like clearly kind of tough to get off the ground. Like, I think I first heard about this movie like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
When they like said we're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And I mean, clearly, you know, it took some time to get this together. Whereas something like Tenet, it's just like, oh, hello, Mr. Nolan. We have a blank check for you. Were you thinking of making a movie today? And he's like, I guess I could. And like takes the check and walks away. It's sort of like, this is a great medium to be like, hey, here's this movie. You can watch it at home. You can rent it. You can buy it, whatever. But it's also a lot more accessible than having to like distribute it out to theaters and all this other stuff. So I kind of liked it because I'm like, this is like a perfect film that I just want to watch at home, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's my take on it. What do you, Patrick, what do you think of the whole like video on demand thing with some of these releases?
I like it. I think it's a fantastic idea by studios who did not expect it. It's still a small way for them to make the money instead of keeping delaying it, which, you know, marketing costs and all those
kind
of costs compounded. Also, With Tenet, it's the times I think aren't right. I think it shouldn't even start now. I think it should not any movies be released until next year.
Totally agree. And most were doing that. I think the biggest movies I'm hearing about right now are Tenet and New Mutants that both came out.
And it's giving them like a negative, or they're having a negative impact, I feel like, on the population, because people are just like, oh, so you're wanting me to go risk my safety just to go see your movie that you say is incredible, but really, like, it might not be.
Like, what if it sucks?
Yeah, what if it sucks? I just wasted, like, you know, money to go out and see it, and also, like, basically, like, put myself in, like, danger, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what if I walk out of Tenet, and then 2 weeks later, I get sick, and Tenet sucks, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, now I have COVID.
Like, you're going to remember that.
Right.
You're
going
to be exactly.
like, that movie sucks.
Right, like, it's such a gamble. Like, it'd be easier to do... Maybe even like a staggered release. Like if you really have to have it in theaters, release it in theaters, but 2 weeks later, release it on video on demand, whatever.
And I understand like cinematography as like an art because of like what Christopher Nolan has done with like Batman, the Batman trilogy. But honestly, I think even now we're seeing movies that have really good quality and they're coming out of Netflix. They're coming out of HBO.
Well, look
even
at this
just
movie.
Like series. Yeah.
Look at Bill and Ted.
It
I mean,
wasn't bad to look at. I actually liked watching it.
Like, and I think that was an interesting thing when we were watching, we watched two Bogus Journey this morning. And I remember sitting there going like, damn, what was the budget of this movie? Because it was like, it's a lot bigger than the first one. Like they do a lot more with a lot more. And it ends up being like double what it was the first movie. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is really like, I have seen big budget movies that look worse than this does.
Yep.
And this did a great job and it's just on my TV at home. Like I didn't feel like, oh, if it was on a big screen, it'd be worse. Yep. But I mean, Amber's absolutely right. It's like, they're doing a good job with this like at home release and it's not taking away from the movie. They're not cheapening it in any way. Like you could tell, I think in the first ones where they kind of cut corners.
Yeah.
Where like when they're holding like their head, the robot heads, it's clearly like Alex Winter just shoving his head under Keanu Reeves' armpit and they're angling it so you can't see his neck.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, it's a goofy, cheesy movie. And I think this movie, you know, they don't really take, even with some of the beats where it's like Keanu Reeves is obviously in a fat suit or they're obviously in muscle suit.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's done in such a way where it's, it's campy and it's also kind of quality for what it is. Like, it's not clearly like a mismatching skin tone that you can see like the wrist parts of or something. It's like, oh, they tried and it looks fine. And I guess it's just at some point you got to wonder, like, is the theater going to become like less a movie theater and more like theater kind of type thing? Like,
it's
I
a
can
luxury,
only go there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's just like the malls. The malls are a luxury that we kind of took for granted, and now they're not going to be there anymore, probably, because they're going to definitely go out of business. But it's, again, a luxury because we didn't really need it to begin with. But because it's been there for such a long time, people feel like we need it. And it's just like, no, we don't, because most people would be able to have access to this through a subscription, like Vudu or something, or just like purchase it on Vudu. So I don't think it's like, it's not a necessity. Again, it's a luxury.
Yeah, it's a fun thing. And I think, like, as much as I would love to go back to the movies, you know,
like I love my IMAX,
I'm like, I don't know if right now it's worth doing. I mean, I don't think right now it's worth doing because it's just kind of like, oh, if I go back, I could get sick. And then again, look at some of the, I don't know if you guys have looked at them, but like, look at the ratings for New Mutants. I think it has like a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm like, so if I went and saw that movie and it sucked and then I get sick, I'd be like, wow, fuck that movie. Fuck myself because I went and saw a shitty movie and now I'm sick. Like, this is awful. You know, it's just like, do I really want to take that risk for entertainment?
Yeah. Now, I do have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Where I'm located, I have an option. It's called the drive-in theater. Would you have seen this movie on the drive-in screen?
I've been like really, so they've been doing a drive-in near us. Music Box Theater has been doing a drive-in thing. And I've been like kind of tempted to like, I kind of want to try it out because I'm like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, especially when it gets cooler outside. I used to do that with my neighbors. Like they would just have like a, they had a projector and he would just project like movies onto the garage door. And we would sit outside and we would just watch it and like the kids would play and stuff. And he had like a ice cream machine or something.
That
like
is the most amazing, nice. Wholesome thing I think I've heard.
Yeah, it was one of my greatest like childhood
that
memories.
That is awesome.
But I feel like if people even did that, like not even go to a drive-thru, but maybe just like they did when we went to that one park. And they were playing Coco. Do you remember?
Oh, the like outdoor movie.
Yeah. But those things are like great options. So.
Yeah, I think if you do it, like limit the size and spacing of everybody. Totally.
Even had like a tent or something. Right. Yeah.
My one like concern, I guess, with the drive-ins. And Patrick, have you been to them yet?
No, because I mean, with summertime, you know, movies don't start till 9 o'clock. I can hardly make it past 10 o'clock these days. So
well, because I was sitting there thinking about it, and I'm like, man, the one thing I'd really hate is just to like have the car running the whole time because it's hot.
Yeah, you know,
like
it's hot. Yeah, and that's why I'm saying for like the fall, it would be really great
in the fall. I think because it'd be cooler. You could just kind of crack the windows.
There's less insects out there.
Yeah, that too. No, I've been thinking, okay, so anybody listening in comments on social media, like Twitter and stuff like that, you know, come at us and let us know if you've been to drive-in theaters during this whole pandemic thing. Like, what's it like? Is it worth it? Is it not? I mean, you're talking to more or less a generation of people that didn't really grow up with drive-in theaters. I mean, it wasn't a thing. And I remember being a little kid and being really upset that drive-in theaters weren't a thing. Like learning they were from old movies and then going, can we go do that? My mom being like, those don't exist anymore. At least not in the same way. And I was like, dang it, that stinks. Like, so I don't know. Maybe this is like a dream come true for childhood me. But yeah, let us know what you guys think of the pandemic drive-in theaters. To answer the question, yeah, I would have gone and seen this. I think I would have seen this in an outdoor theater. Like, this is one of those movies where I was really looking forward to it, and especially after seeing some of the reviews that came out. You know, we're recording this on the Saturday before you guys are hearing it, so a couple days back, but on the Friday it came out, I saw some like early kind of headline reviews that made me pretty hopeful about it. So yeah, I totally would have gone and I think seen this in a drive-in, you know.
Right.
Given right now. What about you, Pat?
Yeah, maybe. I'm a maybe on it because I know like the total cost would have probably been $40 to $50 with snacks and everything.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
And compared to renting it or buying it at home, it's a little cheaper. So for this I'd probably say no.
What about
the more
you,
I think Amber? About it.
Would you have gone and seen it?
Or would I think I would have gone and seen it, but it's not going to be like a regular thing. Like as if, you know, when we had that membership with AMC, we would go like all the time.
I also got to say, what's stopping you from just putting snacks in the glove box and then...
Exactly. Because you have to think like what people are going through right now, and a lot of them have lost their jobs or have lost hours.
Yeah.
So they're not working their usual like times.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of people are trying to save money right now. And so, if you just offer this, which should have been like, oh, you can bring your own snacks and stuff, you know, to lessen like the cost or whatever. But because you're not doing that, you're kind of making it again like an outdoor theater.
Right. Right.
Then people are going to be less likely to do it, I feel like. Because again, if it costs $40, $40 to $50, like, you could just do the same thing at home and not have to waste gas.
It's true. Do you guys think that drive-ins will make a comeback after this is all over?
Yes.
I don't.
You think so? What's the reasoning?
Well, at least in the area I live, it's better for families. It's a good family thing because it's pay by the carload.
Yeah.
And then the snacks and everything, instead of taking them out to eat and then go and see the movie in the theater and the snacks and popcorn on top of that. So,
But it's only during certain seasons, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, I guess like if it's snowing or it's super cold. Well, I guess that's sort of any time though, right? Like if it's raining, you're not going to do it as much as if it's snowing.
Like there are other things, like if you went to like a movie theater, like you wouldn't have to worry about, I guess, or deal with. But if it's like storming that night, or if you're in an area that's prone to storms or like other stuff, then that could affect it. But,
yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, I think this would have been a fun drive-in movie. Like same reasoning, I guess, with the VOD stuff is like, this is just like a perfect movie to just watch at home, you know, enjoy it, still support the production that made it and all that. But like it's just hits like that. Like this movie just hits in that weirdly wholesome, comfy home kind of way, as opposed to something like, you know, Tenet or Inception, I guess, before it, where it's like, this is an event that I must experience in theaters. Like, you know, I'm not getting that from Bill and Ted, but I'm also enjoying it in a different and arguably better way. Like, I enjoyed this probably a lot more than I necessarily enjoyed Inception, just because Inception makes you think a lot. Whereas this is like, I don't have to turn my brain off, but it's still fun. Like, I was still enjoying it.
I do have another thought. Great job by the actresses that were cast as the daughters of
Bill and Ted. Hell yeah. Let's talk about that. I almost forgot to talk about that. They did a great job.
Yeah.
I think they were still unique characters, but they really emulated their on-screen fathers pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, and I've seen one of them before in a show that I've watched on Netflix.
What show's that?
I forget the name, but it's the one with the autistic brother and him going through life in college, and she plays the older sister.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why I can't think of the name now, but that's atypical. The one that she's in. Atypical. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she herself is actually non-binary.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really nice to have, again, that inclusion.
Yeah, this movie had a lot of inclusion, and it, I don't know, I think it did inclusion, like, in such a, what I would consider almost perfect kind of way, because it was like, it wasn't like, hey, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, look, a black guy. Like, I feel frankly, I feel like Disney movies are kind of super guilty of that lately, is it's like, hey, look, Mulan, Asian representation. Look, Mulan. And it's just, people are like, yeah, but it's not like, hey, you should see this movie because representation. It's like, you should see this movie, and it's also good, and good because it has people in it who are representative of, like, actual populations.
Yeah. And they're all, like, good people.
Yeah.
I think, at least, like, I know Keanu Reeves is good. He can do no wrong, but... yeah, but everybody else is, like, even the one girl, she's in Bob's Burgers, isn't she?
Yeah, Christine Shaw. She's
I recognize her voice. Yeah.
When she walked in and she was like, hello, I was like, what? And then when she started yelling, I was like, it's Louise. Yeah. We'll see how that worked out, Mom. she has a very iconic voice, and I was absolutely delighted to see her in this movie. Like, that was an excellent choice to play Rufus's daughter. Like, that was pretty great. But yeah, so final question for this standard out of 10 rating. What are we giving this movie?
This has got to be like a 9.5 out of 10.
Wow, this might be the highest rating Amber's given a movie.
I know.
9.5. Why 9.5?
Because I really enjoyed it. Like, I could just watch it like again, and I would just probably laugh the whole time because it was really funny to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed like I wanted to say during the movie, I was like, damn, the chemistry between him and Alex Winter is like great. Like they're actual brothers, like in real life or something. And like, they're doing everything together. They're like saying lines together. It just really, like, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
A lot of movies, like, I mean, other movies do it pretty well, but this one, it was just like, yeah, it was just all natural. Right. Like, it wasn't forced or anything like that.
What about you, Patrick? Where are you landing on this out of 10?
I'll give a 8.2.
Oh, why? Okay. This is
I enjoyed it, but I still think it doesn't hold the key to the first one. And the first one, I remember watching you when I was a lot younger. So,
right.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed that. And, but I mean, it was still a terrific movie. I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for me, I think I would probably land on like a 9.3, because I agree with Amber. Like, this is a really good movie, and I agree with both of you. I would totally, like, right now, like, just turn it back on and watch it, just because it was like, I don't know, it was just that enjoyable, but also not so overly complex that I'm exhausted, you know,
right,
even with all the time, you know, quantum physics jumbo stuff. But like, at the same time, I'm kind of in your camp, Patrick, a little bit. Like, I saw the first one when I was really young. You know, when I was like a little kid, I saw parts of it. I can't remember if I've seen the whole thing, and just thought it was hilarious. And then when I got older, kind of in more of the like originally intended age group, saw it like all the way through and just thought this movie is hysterical. Like this is just so funny. And then watching this one, like it did give me that sensation again of like watch. It was like watching the first one again. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like it was, I do think the first one was better. So like it doesn't necessarily go that high, but this was really good. And I cannot express enough like satisfaction, just pure satisfaction that this movie exists now and was done and executed in such a way that it was, to where it's just, yes, this is like a satisfying like 20-year sequel.
Right.
And it also doesn't take any goddamn time to set up a fourth one. It's like, all right, it's done. We've exactly. fucking fixed yeah. the world. We're not doing it anymore. This is the resolution. And it's like, cool. I'm fine with that. So that will do it for Bill and Ted Face the Music. Amber, can you let us know what we're going to be expecting next week on our small screen segment?
So next week for small screens, we'll be covering Bill and Ted 1, 2, and 3.
Yep, we're going to be talking about all of them with Patrick once again, who's graciously...
Party on, dudes!
blessed us with his presence once more. We're going to be talking about those, and then the week after, on our main feed, you can catch us on Terminator Dark Fate. And we'll be diving into the sixth Terminator movie to come out, which is just going to be an oof and a half, I'm sure. But until then, I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And I'm your guest, Patrick.
Party on and be excellent to each other.